Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The contention with DPZ on OLF-8. How many other contractors have you spent thousands of taxpayer dollars to investigate, even looking at their internal emails? The real issue there was the DPC was too professional to tell you what you wanted to hear. They told you the highest and best use would not be include more than 100 acres of commercial. The four plans were what the people wanted and what, in their professional and experienced opinion, would be most successful. So you went looking for a reason to fire them, which did not succeed.
So this is Teresa Blackwell. She's a kind of a community activist for Beulah, and she was one of the main participants kind of representing the citizens' views of what should happen on OLF-8 during all of the discussion about master planning that. And now we're talking about, this is last week at the county commission meeting, talking about the Beulah master plan. You've heard in the news, was approved, and it was. But there's a backstory here that's worth knowing. And kudos to the PNJ for reporting on it, getting the story right, which, you know, Jim's very good at that, Jim Little. But Teresa says, look, let's be honest about this. You guys are getting what you wanted, which is to not have DPZ. DPZ is this, like, world-class, fantastic planning organization, right? They've been invited in for different things, and they've worked, I think they've worked with Studer quite a bit downtown, and just this amazing organization. The problem is that they did not want to do just what Commissioner Bergosh, who is primarily the, you know, obviously what he says and will always say is, you know, he always wanted jobs and, you know, light industrial on that site. And that was the whole point of it. And so DPZ, in doing all of the, you know, talk with the citizens and coming up with a plan, they had, representing the citizens, a different view of what ought to happen there. And then there was some very tense kind of very unprofessional by the Board of County Commissioners, particularly by Jeff Bergosh, comments about DPZ and talk about them. And there was, frankly, some unprofessional comments by DPZ in their internal emails about the Board of County Commissioners. And as a result of that, the hurt feelings at the Board of County Commissioners, primarily Stephen Berry and Jeff Bergosh, meant that when they put this thing out for a bid for the overall master plan, right, OLF-8 was done, let's put out for the overall master plan, DPZ was the one who bid. And they had the low bid. In fact, I think they were the only ones who put out on this back in October at $340,000, which is a great deal. And DPZ already knows the area. Like, part of the reason that they could come in with such a good bid is because they already know the people. They know the area. They've worked here. They're invested. Like, they're adding on to what they already did at OLF-8. So it's easier for them to do the rest of the area as a master plan. But if you'll remember back in October, the county commissioners said no to this. Let's put it out again for a bid because they didn't like DPZ. And I said at the time, why on earth would DPZ bid again? You're basically telling them, you know, well, we want. And what they said was, well, we only got the one, you know. Well, come on. Anybody with a brain can figure out what's going on here. You didn't like the way they talked about you. You got your feelings hurt. And so you wanted to try a different company. Well, then we got a different company. And the different company came in and put in their bid at $581,000. $240,000 higher the one that they just approved. And a company that, by kind of everybody's admission, is at best okay, is not great compared to what we had before in DPZ.
Who among you has not used an occasional choice word to describe one of your clients or constituents? I have read a certain blog, Tinfoil Hats, Haters. Let's get real.
Yeah, the blog that Commissioner Jeff Bergosh writes is full of let's just say unprofessional language. Let's just put it that way. There's all kinds of stuff in there that is completely inappropriate. And so for him to complain about DPZ's own internal, as in not published to the world, but their own internal emails that said some mildly critical things about the board, which were very well deserved, by the way, it's the utter hypocrisy. It's amazing to me. He pitch a fit over this. Now, Stephen Barry was also part of this, okay, and he is not the operator of an atrocious blog. So, you know, okay, he can have his hurt feelings if he wants, but Teresa Blackwell went on.
I also am not comfortable with spending nearly $250,000 more of our restore funds. We could use those somewhere else, on OLF-8, for example. Put this bid out one last time. DPZ would certainly need encouragement to apply once more. They are the only ones who have already studied Buellig and can offer such a low price. Give them an ounce of the respect and gratitude they deserve for their contributions to Escambia County.
Yeah, and of course the board decided not to do that because they got what they wanted. They got rid of DPZ. The better company at the lower price, they got rid of them because their feelings were hurt. I mean, that's the short of it, okay? So I will say one thing. Stephen Barry made a comment in the discussion here. I'll get to that in just a second. Let's get a traffic on the fives from Candy.
All right. Not showing any slowdowns or delays. Not yet. 98 looks accident-free. Not showing any problems on 87. Avalon not showing any issues either. 90, also good. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Andrew, come on. You're killing me.
Right. So Commissioner Barry, District 5, the north end of the county, says...
And I don't know exactly what you're looking at doing out there, but when you're master planning other people's property, it's generally a tenuous situation. I'm going to support you, but that'd be my only word of caution. It's been an unmitigated disaster for me. So... I wish you the best of luck.
And what he's talking about there is the sector plan, which you probably hear periodically, and we sometimes have people on to talk about it. Basically, this enormous plan for how to develop that end of the county, and people are opting out, and they're making variances for it, and there's been all kinds of legal cases about all of that. And as he said, it's been a disaster. And it has, okay? And it didn't have to be that way. But what he's saying is be careful about creating a master plan for what is, you know, one thing on OLF-8 where they own it, okay, and can do what they want. Another thing entirely to lay some kind of a land development plan over top of existing private property, which is what a master plan for all of Beulah would have to involve. And so he says, just be careful about what you do. Now, the board passed it 5-0. And to his credit, okay, after whining about DPZ and pitching a fit and engaging in utter hypocrisy over the language issue, Jeff Bergosh, who it's his district, right, District 1, that area of Beulah, he says, look, and he addressed Teresa Blackwell's comments, and he just said, look, I promise we're going to do this right.
Teresa, you know, I appreciate your passion. I know you've been very, very outspoken, and we've not always agreed, but I can tell you this, be involved in this process. I'm going to be. Remember, I live right across the street. I'm right in the heart of it. We're going to make this thing fantastic. We spent a lot of money to do it. Let's do it the right way.
And I hope that turns out to be the case. But even if the master plan turns out the way it should be, turns out to be a good process and a good end result, don't forget this basic fact. The county commission voted to go with a less experienced, in terms of what they know about the area, generally perceived to be less capable company, at an increased price of $240,000. They spent $240,000 of your money in order to avoid having a world-class operation do the master plan because they didn't like the way those folks dealt with them before, because they didn't give them what they wanted. They didn't just roll over and give them what they wanted, and because they said some hurtful things about them in emails. That's it. That's the short of it. So that cost us $250,000. 619 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you have HVAC work to be done, obviously you have a lot of possible choices and people that you can go to for maintenance, repairs, or replacement. You want to be able to pick up that phone and have confidence that you're calling the right company. That's Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. Good service, good products, good installation, just solid all the way around. Now, you're going to be turning on that AC full blast pretty soon, right? Maybe not today. It's a little colder today, but, you know, pretty soon you're going to be. When that happens, you want it to work efficiently, and to work the whole summer and not break down, right? How do you make sure that happens? You get a tune-up. It's a complex piece of machinery. You do a tune-up. You have them come in, look at it, make sure everything's going to work right. You're not going to waste money because, you know, it's not running efficiently, and FPL, you know, is not free, right? It's not cheap these days. So call them, have them look at it, and make sure that it's going to work right when it needs to. AC worker replacement, call Peden. Electrical issues, call Peden. Offices in Panama City, Destin, Fort Walton, and a large location here in Ellison Field. 376-1534, or check them out online at peden.com, P-E-A-D-E-N. And You only got two more days to take advantage of this, okay? Two more days. For the month of March, they are waiving diagnostic fees on HVAC, plumbing, and electrical service. So for this month, for the next 2 days, they are waiving the diagnostics on HVAC, plumbing, and electrical services at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Never let go. I will never let go, Jack.
She will let go. 6:22 here on News Radio 92.3. Not to spoil it for anybody, but, you know. Oh, man. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
People in a tiny town in Minnesota being ordered to evacuate overnight after a train derailed. The local sheriff's office there says a Burlington Northern Santa Fe train derailed, caught fire near Raymond, Minnesota. There's reports that that train was carrying ethanol, so it forced nearby residents to evacuate as a precaution. The Army confirming several casualties after two military helicopters crashed in southwest Kentucky. They didn't say how many crew members were killed or injured. Officials at Fort Campbell say two Black Hawk helicopters with the 101st Airborne crashed overnight during a training mission. And Twitter owner Elon Musk has set a world record for having the most followers on Twitter. Guinness World Records says says Musk is now has over 133 million followers, passing up former President Barack Obama, who held that record since 2020.
Interesting. So, yeah, now the owner of Twitter has more followers than anybody else. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Which makes sense.
Which sounds like Tom from MySpace.
It does, exactly. He's everybody's friend.
Tom from MySpace. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I was actually going to ask if you knew what MySpace was because, you know, again, you're just... You're bringing down our age average, which is good. I appreciate that.
I remember MySpace.
Do you?
I was there right at the beginning of MySpace.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never had a MySpace. Did you do MySpace, Candy?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I got in trouble for... Yeah.
Yes? The answer is yes? Okay, fair enough. We'll just leave it
there. I impersonated Jim Cantore, and I got a cease and desist.
Oh, wow.
I know, and I was like fighting other fake newscasters, and then one really turned out to be really Alan Strum from Channel 3, and I think that's how I got busted. Which is fine. Yeah, I miss MySpace.
That's funny, and that sounds like exactly the sort of thing I would expect you to do. So
there's a lot more.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure there's more background.
Other stuff
stories.
That I got. Yeah.
Yes. I know.
Hey.
6:25 on News Radio 92.3. Time for Traffic on the Fives with Candy.
Oh, that's right. As we take a
slash Jim Cantore.
Slash Jim. I know. I'll tell you off the air. It is a funny story. As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays. Watch for your usual areas of congestion, and not real congested anywhere right now. It's 625. Taking a look downtown, Gregory, the alphabet, all fine. Not showing any problems on Cervantes. It looks like Navy, New Warrington, all good too. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm sorry, Candy, I blanked for a second. We just got a text in that there's a signal flashing at 17th and Cervantes.
Goodness.
Did you happen to see that?
I did not. Okay,
yeah, 17th. Just came in.
Okay, 17th and Cervantes. That's a busy, busy area.
Yeah,
so the flashing signal, of course, and you've said it too, you can be right or you can be careful. So yellow has right away, but certainly watch for others. 17th and Cervantes showing a flashing signal. Thank you so much for texting that in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And it's a catch-22, right? Because, you know, you slow down in a situation where you're not required to slow down, you get word that somebody's going to rear-end you.
I know.
And if you don't slow down and yield in a situation where you're not obligated to yield, where you're entitled to go, then you worry that somebody else is going
to
miss. I mean, it's like those flashing yellows and reds
windows.
Are all...
Yellow has the right of way! But
that's
I don't
it.
Do that anymore because nobody cares.
You grow older, you learn what doesn't work. You know. Just a side note on traffic instructions. You know how when somebody does something stupid and you want to gently educate them with your horn because you're hoping that maybe they will
nice
see the error of
it.
Their ways
yeah.
and they will repent and they will change their behavior. Just from experience, I don't think that works very well. I don't think that the average person in their car gets honked at and then says, did I do something wrong? What did I? Oh, my God, I really did something wrong. I need to do better in the future. That's just not how people receive that.
No, people get all ragey.
Yeah,
by people, I mean me.
Nobody takes it that way. Oh, man. 626 on News Radio 92.3. If you are an employer and you love doing insurance benefits and figuring out dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, managing payroll, great. Good for you. What if that's like your dessert time, you know, at work, wonderful. On the other hand, if you're like, Andrew, you know, I got into the legal business. I got into construction. I got into IT because I don't want to have to deal with that stuff. And now I got to deal with all that stuff. Okay, this is why you call Torgerson Causey. They're a comprehensive employee benefits agency. They do all of this stuff for you or with you, whatever you prefer. And I know they started working with us about 5 or 6 years ago, and they've been great. They gave us options we didn't have before, saved us a little bit of money, gave us better plans, and that's kind of the thing, and helped our employers not have to deal with the stuff they were having to deal with. So just made life easier for all of us all around. So if you want to see whether they might be able to help you do some of that better or just take it off of your plate, Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. What else do we have going on this morning? I just happened to be in the news yesterday. And it's a weird one, too, because on the one hand, it seems really significant. And on the other hand, I don't think it makes much change at all. But you saw yesterday that the U.S. Congress, the Senate, voted to repeal the war resolution that permitted the 2003 invasion of Iraq. 20 years later, right? And right when we still have troops, right? About 5,000 U.S. troops were killed there, and there's what is it? I think it's about 3,000 that we have, 2,500 that we still have in Iraq by invitation from the Iraqi government. Okay, so we still have troops there, but this is to basically change the underlying justification for our presence. Which, by the way, the last time that was really used, I guess, was in conjunction with the drone strike that Trump ordered against the Iranian Soleimani. I think is the last time they really did anything with this particular resolution. But so taking it away probably doesn't change anything. But the last time that we undid use of force resolution was in the 70s, like the Gulf of Tonkin got repealed. Like, you know, it's been 50 years since we repealed a war powers resolution. So just kind of an interesting little development of sorts, as I say, 20 years after the fact that we started that war. 437-1620. Oh, today is an important day in history. The territory of Florida was created.
Oh, happy birthday, Florida.
We are 201 years old, not as a state. That was 1845 memory. I think that's right. But 1822 is when the territory of West Florida, which went all the way over to Mississippi and I think even into Texas, if I remember correctly. I haven't looked at this.
It still does.
But yeah, right. And then, you know, into the panhandle all the way to Tallahassee. And Mobile and Pensacola were kind of in the middle of what was then West Florida. That's the old blue flag with the white star on it that you see in some places. Like, I think Milton flies that as a sixth flag, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
I'm working all on memory here, but I think that's all correct. Anyway, we were in West Florida at the time, and then, you know, we got rearranged, and we became part of the territory of just Florida, which, of course, Escambia County, you know, we had the 200th anniversary last year, because 100 years, that's right, that's how long we've been around. So today, 201, and Escambia and Santa Rosa went from being parts of West Florida to being just part of Florida. So there you go. Happy day in history for Florida. Coming up next, we'll talk to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. David, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
A man's been charged after allegedly robbing a casino winner. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There are deaths reported in an Army helicopter crash during a training mission in Kentucky.
We did see inside of an ambulance, and there was an American flag draped over what is believed to be a person that died in this crash. We are in Katy's, Kentucky, about 40 miles from Fort Campbell, where these Black Hawk helicopters came from.
WCTV's Sydney Snow. The three children and three adults killed in Monday's elementary school shooting in Nashville are remembered at a candlelight vigil attended by First Lady Jill Biden. Fox's Kristen Goodwin.
Nashville Mayor John Cooper telling parents and friends of the victims they are not alone in their grief.
I lift my voice up into Nashville, Tennessee.
Sheryl Crow, one of three performers, Crow singing a version of her track, I Shall Believe.
I shall believe.
The FBI and Nashville police are analyzing writing the shooter left behind, trying to determine a possible motive. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31. News Radio 92.3. It's 51 degrees in Pensacola. Partly cloudy this morning. An Escambia County man accused of following a jackpot winner from the casino in Atmore, forcing him to crash and then robbing him. Now, this incident allegedly happened last December. Deputies say 45-year-old Edward Butler followed a man from the casino in Atmore, then crashed into him on Highway 97. The victim pulled over and turned on his emergency flashers. That's when deputies say Butler pulled a gun on the man, demanded his $8,000 in winnings and other items, including credit cards the man had on him. An arrest report says the victim tried to pull his own gun, but Butler took it from him. Deputies say Butler ended up using the credit card several times to withdraw hundreds of dollars each time as well. Butler now being held on $117,500 bond. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden planning to visit Mississippi this week to survey damage from that deadly tornado that hit the state last week.
The White House made the announcement on Wednesday. The Bidens will travel to Rolling Fork, which felt the brunt of the storm that left more than 20 people dead and damaged hundreds of homes. Both are expected to visit with state and local officials, first responders, and residents who were impacted. This comes after the president approved a major disaster declaration for a number of hard-hit Mississippi counties. I'm Brian Shook.
Well, about a month after a no truck sign went up on Graffiti Bridge, another truck got stuck underneath. Pensacola Mayor DC Reeves says they knew it was going to take more than just signs to stop those persistent trucks. He says the city has a two-phase approach.
One, we wanted to be able to make it truly a no truck zone so we could ticket if we needed to, you know, and that, which would not did not exist before. So that's already in place. In phase two of it, which just takes longer because it's a state road on the south, it's a local road on the north, is to put something physical there.
And Mayor D.C. Reeves says they're planning to put up a physical device on both sides of the bridge that can warn trucks that they won't fit before they actually hit the bridge. Right now, there's no word on exactly when those devices could be installed. Some positive news today. A missing boater in Okaloosa County was found safely this week. Sheriff's deputies say they had been looking for Daniel Hunter. They found his capsized boat on the Shoal River outside of Crestview. Search and rescue teams had been combing the waters looking for him around the area where they found the boat. But eventually, Hunter arrived at the boat ramp and said when the boat capsized, he'd been able to make it to the ramp. Two Escambia County men charged in an armed robbery that allegedly happened at a public park. Deputies say 20-year-old Jalen Carr, 23-year-old Anthony Culliver are both facing charges in this case. An arrest report says the victim and one of the suspects had both been staying at a motel on Pensacola Boulevard. That suspect reportedly offered to drive the victim to go apply for a job, but instead took him to a park where three men, two of whom were armed with weapons, stole his wallet, ID, bank card, and thousands of dollars in cash, as well as several bottles of prescription pills. Deputies say they've arrested 20-year-old Jalen Carr and 23-year-old Anthony Culliver on those robbery charges. They're both being held on $150,000 bond at the Escambia County Jail. It's 635 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, not showing any slowdowns or delays. I say that. There's an accident now. Barrancas and North Navy Boulevard right there at the end of Warrington. Barrancas and North Navy. Use caution there. Caution wherever you are, certainly. Doesn't look like a roadblock. May have been moved off to the side. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. Also a flashing light. That's right. 17th and Cervantes. So caution there. Yellow is supposed to have right away, but be careful. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Beautiful day today. Temperatures warming up near 73 degrees. Plenty of sunshine overnight tonight. Temperatures dropping near 63. We're going to see nice weather continue into your Friday with partly cloudy skies. High near 77. Friday night, temperatures staying warm near 71 degrees. We'll see the 80s for Saturday with a small chance of a stray shower, 30% chance of rain. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 51 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Cal-Maine Foods, the largest egg producer in the country, says revenue doubled and profits surged 718% in the latest quarter on sharply higher egg prices. The company, which controls about 20% of the U.S. egg market, said its average selling price for a dozen eggs in the quarter was $3.30, more than double the average of $1.61 a year ago. Egg producers' pricing decisions have been criticized by some politicians and consumer groups who accuse them of profiteering and price gouging. Electronic Arts is laying off about 6% of its workforce and reducing its office space footprint to focus its spending on the best growth opportunities in the video game industry. The maker of hit franchises such as Madden NFL and The Sims didn't specify how many people would be let go or from which departments, but in the middle of last year, it had nearly 13,000 employees, meaning about 780 jobs would be cut. That's Your Money Now.
The steak experts at Omaha Steaks are helping you spring into something delicious with their semi-annual sale. Grab all your favorites at 50% off, like tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, air-chilled chicken, and more. Plus, use promo code QUALITY at omahasteaks.com at checkout for an additional $30 off your order. Get fired up and spring into something special. But hurry, 50% off site-wide is only for a limited time. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for an additional $30 off during their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required.
It's March, and you know what that means? Taxes are almost due. Jackson Hewitt can help you win tax season. That's the sound of your maximum tax refund. The sound of getting 50% off tax prep. The sound of many of our competitors' prices going up. And the sound of getting to your nearest Jackson Hewitt. Hurry in for 50% off tax prep before this offer expires April 9th. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Staff advice, and I would go with Oak Crest, Beach Haven, and was third one Carver, Liz? Yeah, that would be my three, but those are all LMI, they're all stormwater drainage, staff recommendation. They meet the intent of the policy, so that's where I'm at.
This is Commissioner Mike Kohler, District 2 in Escambia County, southwest portion, when they're talking about the rebuild money that's available, somewhere shy of $60 million for Escambia and Santa Rosa County to divvy up. And, of course, that includes the city of Pensacola, and having to put forward three projects. And then, you know, if the total of all of the applied for projects breaks the threshold, then certain ones are going to get thrown out right off the top if they do not affect low to moderate income areas. And then from the rest, there's a scoring system to figure out which ones are going to get granted. And as you would not be surprised to find out, Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Pensacola have applied for more than the total. And, you know, in fact, Escambia has, or Pensacola, sorry, has put in for the entire Hollis T. Williams drain water project. This is a big, big price tag. Escambia put in for, an ECAT thing and then a bunch of stormwater stuff. Santa Rosa were smaller numbers in the just a million or so, but they also put in for some stormwater projects. Joining us now, we have Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. I know this conversation caused a lot of consternation among the commissioners, in part because they were frustrated about the process, about the designation, about the age of the data being used to score or unscore as an LMI area. I have kind of a different question here, which is, did Escambia and the city and Santa Rosa, did you all ever coordinate when this came down just to see, hey, is there maybe a way that we can put forward a set of proposals that we all get something out of and that we're not really competing against each other, but that we would kind of all be happy to get where, you know, we're not over-requesting from the pot? Did that ever happen?
No, it did not. We did not coordinate with Santa Rosa, and I think the city, you know, they had their priorities, and so they submitted theirs, and then so we chose ours, but there was no coordination between the three.
Okay. I mean, as a citizen, I know it's easy to say looking back, but I know you guys benefited to a degree from knowing in advance what Pensacola and Santa Rosa were going to do, but it just seems like that would be a better way to not compete against each other for this limited money, but to figure out, hey, can we all do this in a way that makes us all get what we want, right?
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that strategy. You know, we have so many initiatives, so many priorities in the scheme, and the city has theirs as well. And, you know, a lot of our initiatives really don't border the city, and really it would be hard to kind of work it in to combine efforts there in some areas. But, you know, we'll see how we move going forward. If we have an opportunity to work with the city, we always do, and we're happy to do so.
And this, if I read the proposals right, and you and I have talked about this a little bit before too, but that two of the three asks have to do with directly stormwater drainage, and they're all low to middle income areas or moderate income areas, which means that they're eligible, so to speak. The ECAT one is the only one that I don't really understand the connection to. And I mean, look, they're going to score how they're going to score, but are you realistically anticipating that one getting approved?
Hopeful. Certainly we're hopeful. You know, ECAT sits in an area that experiences flooding, you know, a historical flooding. During Hurricane Sally, we had severe flooding there at ECAT. And it is in kind of the Delano area where we would want to make some stormwater improvements. And we have a plan to do that. And so, yeah, we're hopeful that we get some funding for that. And we're also applying for another grant as well for ECAT.
to put, you know, if we only get partially funded, we're going to continue to go after some additional grant money to relocate ECAT.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that was brought up in the meeting, is the concern that, you know, hey, maybe we get approval for some of it, and then we're on the hook for trying to find the rest of the funds our own way. If you're going to do the project anyway, that's a benefit. If it's a project you wouldn't have done it otherwise, you know, that can be a cost. One of the other things I wanted to talk about with you a little bit is, a good news note, we got some new jet skis, right, from New Orleans?
We did. We got some new jet skis. Got three of them, and kudos to Jamie Higdon and Eric Gilmore. We're working together there. You know, Jamie is just... He's always creative and looking for opportunities to bring in needed equipment. We've been needing jet skis for quite some time, and believe it or not, they're hard to come by. We looked last year, we just couldn't get them, and so, you know, he didn't take it off his radar. He kept looking, and he found these over in New Orleans. And so we scooped them up while we had the opportunity.
No, that's good news. And I love that, you know, we scramble and find stuff, especially in the, you know, COVID, post-COVID environment. That can be a challenge. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives with Candy.
And taking a look, we do have a couple of things to watch out for. One is a light flashing at 17th and Cervantes in East Hill, so I could tie things up. And a motorcycle accident at Navy in Barrancas, and they have traffic going into the turning lane to go around it, so not a roadblock. You can text 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Moreno. Wes, something I had been wanting to ask you about because I thought that it was a very interesting and telling moment in the committee in the commission meeting last week. I'm going to play a little bit of this audio and then I'm going to get you to react. This is you talking about the procurement department.
And whereas the Escambia County Purchasing Department is a member of the National Institute for Government Procurement, the NGIP recognizes, supports, and practices the public procurement values and guiding principles of accounting ethics, impartial professionalism, service, and transparency. And whereas it is fitting that we recognize and honor the ongoing contributions of America's purchasing professionals by observing Purchasing Month with the motto, Purchasing, Helping Build Better Business and Government.
I thought it was awesome to hear you be so emotional about something that most people might not even know exists as a government department, procurement. You seem to be almost on the verge of tears there. Pretty emotional moment for you talking about them and their turnaround.
Well, they have. It's been such an amazing turnaround, and in a very short amount of time, in my opinion. But to see the work that this group does, and to see the team that Jeff Lovinggood has built, and the excitement when you go down to purchasing, it's night and day from what it used to be. I mean, it used to be like going into a dungeon almost. And now, you go down there, everybody's upbeat, everybody's happy. There's some excitement, an air of excitement in there, and they're driving work, and they want to do good work, and they are doing good work. And it's just amazing to see a group come together and be successful and continue to want to drive and continue to want to improve. And, you know, we had a record year last year, even with being understaffed. And then this year, those guys are just, they're just flying down there. They're just driving work out. And it's noticeable. Every agenda you see, we're awarding work, whether it be a design or construction. And it's just amazing. Didn't think we'd ever see it. I think it's the best, in my tenure anyway, it's the best procurement's ever been. And I think it's just noteworthy. You
know, no, it is.
It is amazing.
And I'm glad to give them the kudos. I'm glad, and I was glad that you talked about it. I mean, you know, people might not realize, but, you know, imagine if nobody in your house ever went shopping, what would happen? You know, like.
I'll say this. It has been, if you're going to be the administrator, you better have a good procurement department.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to have problems. I've seen it. I've heard it. And a good telltale sign is the board never speaks of procurement. I like that. Because if they're speaking of procurement, they're bringing it up, it's usually not in the good light.
Yeah. So, you know, for government operations, you know, they're like the tech crew, right? When people notice the sound and light, that's a bad thing. They shouldn't notice that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff. Hey, just last quick thing, because I wanted to find out where we stand on this. The city talking a lot about homelessness and what they're doing, and kind of waiting on the county to, you know, take your action with your ARPA funds. Do you have a deadline maybe tomorrow to turn in the application for the shelter that you want to build, or has it already been turned in? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, we turned that application in last Friday.
Okay.
I signed some documents, and so we turned that in last Friday. And let me say this. I know we are working with the city in this initiative. D.C. has the federal homeless expert coming in on, I think, May the 9th. We're going to have a joint city-county meeting and listen to the presentation, and then the 10th, and then we're going to have like a civicon about the issue. But I would also say internally, I put a small working group together, working with Allison Patton and Chandra Smiley and some folks, and we've been meeting. We met last week with Dr. Joseph from Lakeview on continuum of care, and we want to see some changes there and make some improvements there. We've been involved in the point in time count. We got involved in that this year. Didn't go great, but it went better than it's been. But next year, I'm going to have my emergency manager run the whole point in time count. We're going to organize it and put it together. And I think we're going to be more successful next year. But we are driving hard, kind of behind the scenes, I guess. You know, we're going to meet with the continuum of care. We're going to meet with our service providers. And there's a disconnect between the different service providers and shelters.
Sure.
So we want to bring all these people together, and we just want to bring them together and let them know what grants are available to them, how we can work with each other. And so we are driving hard behind the scenes in homelessness.
Yeah, no, and I understand, and I'm glad that's happening. That's been the long-standing problem with our approach to this, is lack of coordination between these different entities who have often been very stovepiped by their own choices, you know. And so, you know, getting everybody to work together, I know that's Connie's been working on that quite a bit as well. And so it's good to see and good to hear that, you know, not everything you see in the public about what's happening is the full totality of what's going on behind the scenes, whether it's this or working on the District 1 Medical Examiner Office or anything else that the county is doing. That's kind of why I like to have you on, to tell people the stuff they don't necessarily see out in the open. Wes Moreno, he is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, as always, thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing to lead the county and for giving us the information. I appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. See you later.
You bet. 652 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's be honest. Nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else could pay our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with a Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Gallon of gas, 348. Florida is right below that at 345. Texas is 315, and California is 482. And Navarre, like I say, prices haven't budged much in a couple of weeks. 315 east and west at the Walmarts. If you're going through Tiger Point, 311 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge right there at the Murphy. 323 in proper at the Exxon. 329 in Milton at the Raceway before Avalon. 319 across from the Walmart at the Murphy and P Ridge, and then 325 if you wait to the Cumberland Pharmacy in Pace as you're getting over towards Pensacola. In Pensacola, 319 on 9 Mile at the Walmart, same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and coming in from the southwest side looks like 319 at the Murphy, or if you wait to the TNC on Navy, that's 317 this morning. 654 here on News Radio 92.3. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Let's get David Wayne in here from the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An American journalist has reportedly been arrested on spying charges in Russia. State-run Russian news agencies reporting authorities have detained Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerstovich in Ural, a city east of Moscow. The state board chosen by Governor DeSantis to oversee Disney World's government services says Disney stripped it of its power. The Orlando Sentinel says before the state took control of Disney World's district board last month, the entertainment company quietly pushed through a development agreement that'll keep Disney in power. And the victims of Monday's school shooting in Nashville remembered last night in a candlelight vigil, First Lady Jill Biden and Mayor John Cooper among the people who attended last night's vigil in downtown Nashville.
All right, thanks so much, David. Now Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching a few different things. One is 17th and Cervantes in East Hill. That light is flashing yellow. It's supposed to have right away, but be careful because, you know. And motorcycle accident. This happened at Navy and Barrancas earlier this morning. Now, as I understand, traffic is going around into the turning lane. So caution there and wherever you are. If you have a traffic tip, 437-1620. This is brought to you by GetRefunds.com. If you're ready to get your business the help it deserves, find out if it qualifies for the ERC assistance in less than 8 minutes. Up to $26,000 per employee could be waiting. Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. Again, traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. You know, I talk about Christina Leavenworth a lot. Like, if you're selling a home, call Christina. If you're buying a home, call Christina, because what she knows about selling translates into making her more effective at buying on your behalf and knowing, you know, what are the other offers? If there are multiple offers, what are they going to be? What's the right price? What should you settle for? Can she get a better price on a new build? Like, and they do. They do. In fact, she was telling me recently they do really good with new builds. But you might think, every time I talk about Christina, you might think, I'm not buying or selling a home. It doesn't apply to me. Okay, fair enough. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you'll never call her personally. Maybe. But do you know anybody who's buying or selling? And the reason I say that is because if somebody's a friend and you want them to do well and save or make good money, then why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Like, so if somebody's buying or selling a home that you know, you can recommend Christina Leavenworth to them too because she's fantastic. I mean, this is what I do when people ask me, who do you recommend? Well, Christina Leavenworth. I mean, she's amazing. Give her a call. So whether it's for you, whether it's for a friend, she and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are amazing, genuinely amazing. What they get done, and it kind of feels like you're their only client, but you know you're not. But somehow or other, they treat every home they're working with like it's their own home and, you know, making sure that all the right things are done in just the right way. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. 657 here on News Radio 92.3. It's opening day! Yee-hoo! I know. I'm weirdly like, I'm only halfway there. I should be more excited. I normally am super excited. It's actually, and St. Louis Cardinals opening day is always a big production. It's a huge event downtown St. Louis. And, of course, I'm not there. but it is fun. But,
home
yeah,
of Budweiser.
I find myself kind of, I don't know, I'm weirdly only halfway. I'm normally super worked up on opening day. And
is it always on a Thursday?
Often. Often, sometimes on a Sunday, sometimes on a, you know, and sometimes it's not for 2 weeks because they're playing away games first. But, you know, everybody's playing today. 30 teams are playing today. So everybody plays. It's this new system where everybody plays everybody throughout the year. They've got the bigger bases. They've got the pitch clock, the batter clock, the, you know, you can't have the shift on anymore. There's all kinds of stuff that has changed in baseball. Generally speaking, it's been better. The games in the spring training have been shorter, punchier, more interesting. I haven't seen any evaluation of whether the stolen bases have gone up or whether the scoring is any higher, because some of the stuff definitely benefits offense over defense. But the game is better. I mean, it just is. Anytime you tinker with my love, I hate to see it, but I think it's going to be better because of it. Time for
Future news,
when Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. All right, Mayor Reeves tells us yesterday that he is working on and in the final phases of a real physical overhang solution preventing trucks from hitting Graffiti Bridge, because it's one of these, you know, if you hit this, you'll hit that, and that's going to go in, he thinks. Will it actually solve the problem of Graffiti Bridge?
I think future President Reeves will totally solve the problem of Graffiti Bridge, though it will take away from our entertainment, as he mentioned.
The first of many successes. Yes. I'm weirdly optimistic about this also. Yeah, I am optimistic about this. Yeah. Will SB 464, the one that would prohibit you from driving in the left lane on highways, pass and become law?
Yeah.
Yeah. Will it change things?
No.
Oh, man, I still want to say yes.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.